When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Hey, Reggie, how you doing, my friend? All right, let me get the microphone set here. Are we all set? I'm all set. Are you all set? Cool. Then let's be set. And let's record episode number 427. Put it in the books, my friend. All right? Three S's, star, smile, strong. Here's the countdown. 3, 2, 1. Are you ready? No? Okay. Now we'll do it. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Whoa, 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 slow. Music needs to be a little louder there, pal. There you go. All right, let's get going. No one ever hears this, thankfully, right? This is all on the cutting room floor. They're just going to hear that nice, bouncy, explosive music and my big, booming voice. All right, here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. Don't forget to rate this podcast, to subscribe to this podcast, but most importantly, don't forget to tell your friends about it. Spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Of course, if you enjoy what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and enjoy podcast after podcast from the past. Lots of them in there, so just keep scrolling down and loading more. Whether you're a newcomer or a longtime listener, as I said, it's always good to go back to hear where we've been so you know where we're going. And that's especially true for this podcast, which is number 427. Yes, I frequently say that it's always good to go back and listen to the old podcasts, not just because they are so extremely informative and entertaining and timely and a must listen to your weekly podcast addiction. But also, it will be helpful sometimes because oftentimes, as in any ongoing conversation, dialogue, friendship, for those who have been listening for a long time, I think all three of those words describe what I try to do for this podcast every week and have been doing since 2016. For 426 and now 427 episodes. And this is one of those days where going back or recalling a former podcast, going back and listening to a former podcast or recalling one will come in handy. And this one, you don't even need a long-term memory. Literally last week, if you listened to last week and remember that one about a huge storm that came through Chicago and how Chicago is becoming more and more susceptible to tornadoes, and I actually joke that maybe tornado or Chicago is the new Tornado Alley, a phrase that has always been associated with some states a little south in the Midwest of Illinois, specifically Kansas. Thus, we have the whole story of The Wizard of Oz. But part of what I talked about last week, about the storm that hit here and some of the dangers of it and the new reality that Chicago proper, not just the state of Illinois, state of Illinois has always had some tornadoes, but they were always very well south of the city. Chicago is at the northern part of the state. And so while Illinois was not a tornado alley per se, we certainly have had our share of tornadoes that have touched down and done some considerable damage over the years, but mostly they were southern. They were closer to some of those states I'm talking about, like, you know, Kansas and places like that. But over the last several years, we've been noticing that Chicago proper, not just Chicagoland area, the surrounding suburbs, but Chicago proper, for some reason now, tornadoes are touching down in heavily populated urban areas. And I was talking about how last week I was driving in Chicago down a pretty well-known major thoroughfare, Irving Park Road, and came head-on with not a tornado. I'm not one of those tornado chasers like in the movie Twister, or now the new sequel, Twisters, but certainly came into contact with some very severe rain and wind and huge gusts of wind and rain, thus that I couldn't even continue to drive my car and had to pull over for a while. And when the storm blew over, it was a fast-moving storm. Part of the aftermath and the residue of that storm, as I said, were downed trees, many of them downed and completely blocking some streets, major streets and some side streets, several side streets, as well as lots of debris of smaller branches everywhere in the streets, on the sidewalks, on houses. It was quite a mess, and we're still a week later, I'm still driving around and still seeing that while most of it has been cleaned up, there's still some areas there where the trees are still, they're not in the streets anymore, but they're still on the curb. They've been moved over, they've been cut, and still waiting to be hauled away. So the remnants still remain. And one of the things that I was talking about was how these trees, which, you know, at one time, when they were first planted, especially here in Chicago, an older city, and a lot of the suburbs as well, when they were planted maybe 50, 60, 70, and in some cases hundreds of years ago, at least more than 100 years ago, they were nice little twigs. And they grew to be, and there was, as they were growing, they were pretty, and they provided shade, they provided nutrients to the surrounding area, provided shelter for animals, nesting, you name it, right? We love our trees. Got a great area a little west of the city, a little southwest in Lisle, Illinois, called the Morton Arboretum, started by, yes, if the name sounded somewhat familiar, but you weren't sure where you heard it, yeah, the Morton Arboretum, a huge acreage set aside for all different types of trees, thus the term arboretum. My wife and I are a member there. We like to go there quite often just to walk around and enjoy the pastoral environment. It's not always easy to find that in an urban setting where we live, so it's nice to go out there and escape if you can, if you will. I always say that in New York, for instance, if you've ever been to New York, in Manhattan, I believe that without Central Park, that city would be unlivable. There's so many people. There's so much going on. I love New York. Don't get me wrong. But the great thing about New York is that right in the middle of it, there's all this acreage of Central Park, and it is like a magnet. Every time I go to New York, I always go to Central Park because it in the middle of the world's, or one of the world's certainly most bustling and busy and frenetic and chaotic cities, and those are all adjectives I say in a positive way. That's what gives New York its energy and its excitement and its personality. But there's so many people on top of one another, all going about their business, all different types of people, rich, poor, gender, races, you name it, all thrown in. It is literally the melting pot of America. And there's so much frenetic energy in that city. On every street you go, in every neighborhood, there's an intense vibe. Everything is sped up. Just walking across the street, just walking down the street, you have to walk a little faster when you're in New York. But then there's Central Park. Right in the middle. For me, it's like a magnet, and you can enjoy the hustle and bustle if you're there for 3 or 4 days or even longer. You can enjoy that hustle and bustle of New York and soak it in and take it in. But then when you go to Central Park, oh, it's as if you're in a different place. Beautiful, bucolic, serene, lakes, trees, parks, walkways, great views, a zoo, skating in the winter, skating rink. It's got it all. Big rocks, sculptures. Farther down the reservoir, it's in the 90s, in the hundreds, the streets. It's amazing. Right in the middle of all this. This energy and this craziness, and I say that in a great way, then there's this place, this haven, this retreat, to at least get away from it for 5 minutes or 5 hours, to just relax and take a breath and get recharged, and sit and enjoy nature in the middle of this urban jungle. We have this serene nature spot, and that's what I enjoy about going to the Morton Arboretum. As I was telling you, it was started by the Morton Salt people. Morton, there it is. Yes, that little girl on the Morton Salt container with the umbrella. Yes. Morton Salt. The Morton family was involved in establishing, buying this huge chunk of land and preserving it so that we could enjoy our own kind. I mean, certainly not Central Park, but at least there was a sense of preservation and a sense that people in an urban setting need a getaway from it all. They need a restful haven. They need to reconnect with nature. And that, for me, the Morton Arboretum and certainly the Botanic Garden in Highland Park are two spots that we are both members of, my wife and I, and frequent because of that that escape, if you will, from the urban life that so many of us live. Even if you live in a suburb, suburbs are still as many of them are just as hustling and bustling as the city. Many of them are right across the street from the city. But even if you're out in the suburb farther away, the suburbs are growing fast. You look at places like Naperville or places like that. They have a suburban charm. But if you go down to the quote unquote downtown area, there's hustle and bustle there too. But yes, as I was talking about, so the Arboretum is a place to celebrate and enjoy and be informed about, learn about, and appreciate and celebrate trees. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a good tree. I love a good tree. When we moved into our home, one of the things that was appealing was that we had some several trees, two trees in the front of the house, three trees in our yard, two big ones and one smaller one that was growing. And no question that they provide an ambiance. They do provide, even within your own little world, a nice little area to escape, if you will, a refuge. Certainly they provide shade for you, and like I said, ambiance, and then, the colors in the fall, as well as I said, housing for many of the nature of the area, birds and squirrels and you name it. I think there shall never be, how does that poem, something great or beautiful as a tree. I get that. But then there's the other side of the tree. And what I was saying on the last podcast was that not only was I encountering several downed trees, some of them completely covering houses after this huge storm that blew through the Chicago area with wind gusts of 70, 80, at times 90, even 100 miles an hour in some places. And these older trees, especially when they're bigger, they are susceptible. They're older. They're a little weaker. They have more branches. Some of those branches are not as strong as others. And when the wind starts blowing, you see those trees, and especially those branches, really bending. And yeah, a good 75, 80 mile an hour wind can do some damage to a tree. And if it does damage to a tree, it's most likely going to do damage to anything around it, be it homes, fences, electrical lines, lots of things. And I was even saying in the podcast last week that while I encountered many downed trees on my way home driving through this storm, I was grateful that we had no damage to our trees at all. Now, I should say, I mentioned that we moved in to this home about 25 years or so ago. We had five trees, two in the front and three in the back, two large ones and one smaller one that was beginning to grow. As I said, when you plant these trees 40 or 50 years ago, for the people that planted them initially, you're like, oh, that's a nice little tree. Oh, it's nice. Blah, blah, blah. That's great. But those trees, the people leave. They either sell the house and leave and never think about the tree again, or they leave this planet and it's not their problem anymore. They kick the can, if you will. And those who buy the houses now have to contend with this tree that is certainly still beautiful and majestic. As I said, I've been to Muir Woods in San Francisco. It's when you see the huge trees there, the sequoias and things like that. Oh my gosh, it's what a sight! You can't help but be in awe of them. And I love our trees, but the older they get, the bigger they get, the more hazardous they become, sad to say. For instance, we had a tree that, once again, by the time we moved in, our house at this point is 100 years old. Even when we moved in, it was 75 years old or so. And there was this huge tree in the backyard that was not in the middle of the driveway, but it was to the side of the drive, but still in the driveway. And it really, as this tree became, you know, was so big, it provided, yes, some great shade, but it also provided a lot of hazards. It was difficult to pull out or into the garage at times, because if you're going to make a 3-point turn, you had to be careful. You couldn't just swing out. You really had to be careful because of the way the tree was situated. And I would assume, because of the age of our house, that probably that tree was planted before the house probably even had a driveway. Because when the house was built, I don't even know, you know, how prevalent cars were at the time. So the yard may have not even had a garage or a driveway. I don't know when it was built, but it looked as if the driveway was built around the tree. And with time and the size of this tree, it started to break the concrete in the driveway. Seriously break it. So between the hazard of it, the breaking of the cement, as well as, my gosh, when we moved in in August. And so we weren't really here yet for the spring. You know, hadn't seen the spring yet. You know, August, September, October, the leaves fell. We had quite a few leaves from that tree. It was an elm tree. Had quite a few leaves from that tree. So a lot of leaf blowing had to go on, and it filled, and the leaves filled the driveway. I mean, one day I came out, and once again, I'm new to the house, and I look out, and the whole driveway was leaves. You couldn't see the driveway. It was a big tree, and it dropped a lot of leaves. I almost had to shove. I didn't even have a blower at the time. I had to shovel the leaves because I had just moved in. I didn't have a blower yet. I didn't know if I need one. I didn't even think about it until I woke up one day and we were surrounded by leaves in the driveway. And then, of course, the other phenomenon was in the fall or in the spring. You know, those trees give off those little whirly birds. You know, those little whirly birds? Oh, my gosh. The driveway was covered. Once again, you couldn't even see the concrete. Covered in whirly birds. Every year. Now, we didn't cut the tree down initially. We had it up for, you know, since we moved in, a good 10 years or so. But it really started to do a lot of damage to the concrete. It was hard to not only, you know, come out of the drive to get into get in and out of the garage, but then it was also difficult when you were shoveling or trying to clear the driveway with snow. Especially if you were, you know, using a plow of some kind, because it was in just an odd spot. As I said, I don't think that the driveway came first. I think the tree came first, and the driveway was built around it. Obviously, because you could see the circle. So we did cut down that tree several years ago, and it was quite an ordeal. It was a huge tree. We certainly had a lot of firewood. No question about that for a while. Didn't need to buy firewood for a long time. So we took that tree down. Then there's this other smaller tree that was about in the midway part of the yard. And it was, once again, I guess, you know, whoever was planting these trees, they weren't thinking in long term that these trees are going to get big and they are going to grow. And you want to put them in a spot where they are not obtrusive or do damage. But I don't think that was the thought process. I don't know if people think about that as much as they should when they plant a tree. They look at it at the time like, oh, it looks so nice here. But you got to think 40 or 50 or 60 years ago down the line, is what's that tree going to do? Right, you might not be here. You could say, you know, let them eat cake, but, you know, why should you, you know, think about the future of that. If you don't care about the people that are going to have to deal with the growth of this tree, think about the tree itself. And so that smaller tree was, in the years that we were here, it was still kind of small, so it looked nice. But then as you know, 10 or 15 years later, it was growing into our neighbor's fence and beginning to move it, a wooden fence. And then the way the branches were growing, it was actually hanging over our neighbor's house more than it was on our side. For whatever reason, the branches were growing to the right more than to the left. And it wasn't, the branches were kind of low. And so it was kind of difficult where for them to even begin as the tree was growing. They'd have their car in the garage and the branches were not that far from their car. It was just it was a cool looking tree. Don't get me wrong, but it was planted in the wrong spot. Just not good planning. Think about how this tree is going to grow and think about what it's going to do. So it was kind of doing damage to the fence. It was becoming an obstacle for the neighbors. So before it got any bigger or any worse, we cut that one down. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I see, say, Jim, wow, you're a wild tree cutter. No, I love trees. I really do. But as I've talked to you many times on this podcast, I'm also a realist, and these trees were becoming more hazardous than they were pretty or productive. A good tree planted in the right spot is a beautiful thing. But you got to think ahead about where you're going to plant the tree. You got to find out. You got to do a little research. If you're getting a new home or you're going to do something like this, you're going to get new landscaping. You can't just say, "Oh, well, we'll put a thing here, we'll put a thing there, and that, and it looks good today." Think of 5 years later. Think of 10, whether it's a bush or a tree, whatever it is. Do some research. Find out how they grow. The growth time and the way it grows and what it provides and some characteristics of the tree. Like I said, you know, the whirlybirds. If you don't want those whirlybirds in your yard, then don't plant that kind of tree. So do a little research about the tree, what it is, how it is, what it does. So we have one big tree still in our yard, and it's a walnut tree, black walnut tree, which is ironic because the black walnuts are really green. And I've talked about this tree in the past. I've talked about how big it is, and I've talked about how it's become kind of a hazardous or a nuisance. In fact, several years ago, I did a podcast about I was in awe and enthralled when we were trimming some of the branches, because some of them had fallen and done some damage to fences and things like that, or they were just falling, you know, cracking, and they were once again, it's a walnut tree, so the amount of those walnuts that would fall in our yard was incredible, because there were so many branches on this tree. So between the damage that some of them were, they had cracked because of the wind and the weather, and some damage they had done when they did fall, and the amount of these walnuts that would drop. I mean, our yard, when this tree, you know, is in full bloom with those walnuts, squirrels love these walnuts. Our yard is squirrel central. It is ground zero for squirrels in the neighborhood. And they take the walnuts from here, and not only do they eat them in the tree, leaving the remnants all over our yard and our patio. I have to go out there now in the summer every couple of days and blow all the remnants off because the squirrels are just eating. They not only do they eat them in the tree, they take them down from the tree and then they sit on the patio. They use the patio more than we do to eat. It's amazing. So I have, you know, over the years, because of the size of the tree and the amount of these walnuts, we've taken down several of the lower hanging branches because they were getting very low to the point where they were almost, you could walk and they were dipping so low. So we raised the amount, you know, now the branches that are there are higher and there's fewer of them, but they're still, the tree still provides a lot of shade and there's still, it's not like it's a Charlie Brown tree anymore or like that. I mean, it's still a full tree. It was a much fuller tree, but it still looks good and everything like that. But, it still it can, because it's so big and so old, it can do damage. In fact, about 3 or 4 years ago, we had another weird little storm called a derecho here in Chicago area that blew through our neighborhood, actually knocked out our electricity for about a week. And during this very violent, quick and violent storm, very windy, a lot of rain, all of a sudden we saw it happen. This huge branch fell, once again, feeling bad about this, in our neighbor's yard. Thankfully, it just missed their garage roof. And it fell right in front of their garage door. Didn't do any damage, but it was huge. And we were lucky. So after that, I said, "Well, we've got to start trimming this tree again. We've got to maybe take some of these branches that are leaning into the neighbor's yard because they were getting a lot of the falling walnuts as well that would just fall from the tree naturally, or they would fall because the squirrels are running all over the place, knocking them off, and then they go back down and pick them up with their mouths and they take them all over the neighborhood, or they all hang out in our patio." And so I took off some more branches, and the podcast I did there, I was in awe of how these tree trimmers do their jobs. Not only do they climb up the trees like lemurs with no fear at all, and they're pretty high up there, and they're all strapped in. It's crazy. But then when they cut these huge limbs off the tree, they use this series of ropes and pulleys, it seems, and they actually can steer the branches that when they cut them, they steer them in a way so that they don't do damage to the surrounding areas. And I was in awe because where they had to cut these branches off were right over our neighbor's garage, in between, and there's a fence right next to that, a wooden fence. And then the tree is right there. There's some space between the tree and the fence. Thankfully, whoever planted the tree thought ahead. Unlike that other tree that we had to cut down, it was right up against the fence. This one, there's a good amount of space. But still, if you're just willy-nilly cutting down these branches, they're going to do some damage. And I sat there watching them do this. And when they're cutting that thing, I said, "Oh, my God, where is this thing going to go down?" And that thing just whooshed from the far right, hanging over our neighbor's yard. It, I don't know how they steered it. I don't know how they bound it up, whatever they did. But when they cut that thing and let it go down, it swooshed to the left, back toward our yard and into an open area where it did absolutely no damage. It certainly hit with a thud. I'm sure the ground there wasn't appreciative of that. But in terms of keeping it out of the line of any electrical lines, of any fences, of any structures. It was a work of art. I was just in awe and so impressed that of how they do that. And if you know a tree trimmer like that, or you are one, wow, you are an artisan. You are an artisan. Unbelievable. And so my wife, you know, I'm looking at this from a very pragmatic thing. Look, you know, there's this tree. Yes, I know it's nice. It's beautiful, but it also can do some damage here. It's an older tree. The chances of it losing branches as these trees get older gets bigger. And the older the tree, the bigger the branch, the more damage it can do. And so there was one that was still hanging over our, that was higher up. We cut the lower one. I mean, the one that fell was lower. And so there was one that was still, it was higher up, but it was still hanging over their garage. And it always bugged me because I said, you know, I just wish it wasn't there. But my wife was like, oh, we've already taken down so many of these branches, these big limbs, and you don't want to ruin the shape of the tree. And so we cut three or four branches off. And so I said, I'd like to cut that one down. Oh, you know, you're just going to start destroying the tree. So, okay, I gave in on that. But every day I go out and look at that huge limb over their garage. And I would say to myself, oh, please don't fall. Because this one is not going to be, the odds are this one's not going to be good. It's probably going to hit their garage. The last one just missed it. And I think this one, if it falls straight down, is going to do some, you know, is going to hit their garage roof, no question. And who knows what will happen. Now, what I did not know was that, which I guess it's true, but I guess it isn't, because I guess it's an act of nature. But I learned this because one of our neighbor on the other side, one of their tree limbs during a storm a few years ago, cracked off and hit our wooden fence on the other side and did some major damage to it. I came out in the backyard after a storm just to check out. I hadn't heard anything. I didn't see anything because the patio is kind of behind the garage. So as I turned the corner, at first I couldn't even, I knew something looked weird. I couldn't put my finger on it until I realized, oh, wait, that's a huge tree limb in my yard hanging over into the patio and hanging onto the fence. And sure enough, it had done some major damage to the fence, the posts as well as the middle parts. Well, I figured, this never happened before, I figured, well, if it's my neighbor's tree, it's their responsibility, right? In terms of insurance claims or things like that. But that is not the case. That is not the case. If your neighbor's tree does damage to your property, it's your responsibility. So I went to my neighbor and I said, yeah, I don't know if you know, but your tree fell. And she said, yeah, well, I understand. She said, well, you should call your insurance company. And I said, oh, my insurance company? I thought it would be yours. She said, no, that's not how it works. And she wasn't being mean or anything. She's just saying, no, that's kind of an act of God. And so it's your property. And I was like, wow. And sure enough, that was true. And we had to make the claim and everything like that with our house insurance. But it was, and so I felt bad. I mean, you know, if our tree did some major damage to a garage, you know, that's major stuff. I mean, I'm sure the insurance company would pay for it, but still, you know, it's your garage. You know, the inconvenience and the I don't know what their deductibles are and things like that. So I always looked at this big limb that I didn't cut down as a compromise to my wife to show that I wasn't the mad tree trimmer. that I was being accused of being. I was just trying to make sure that we didn't that our trees were both pretty as well as not destructive. So I gave in on that branch. And it's been about 5 or 6 years. And so, you know, we haven't had anything major happen. So, okay. So, as I said, when I came home last week after this this very serious storm, 11 tornadoes had been confirmed and reported to have touched down in different areas of the Chicago area, all over the Chicago area proper, not only at the both airports, but around the city, on the south side, on the north side, northwest side, you name it. And so when I did come home, the storm had settled down a little, and I went back into our backyard just to see, did we survive it? And there were no trees down, no limbs. And I said, okay, that's good. And then the next morning, we looked out from our second floor and saw that our neighbor had a major tree limb fall off of their tree into their yard. Thankfully, did not do any major damage to any structures, but later on found out, because it was so big, they had one of their cars, unfortunately, on the driveway, not in the garage. And the tree did some major damage to the car, some dents and scratches through on the top and on the side. Also destroyed a small metal kind of fence that they had to, for their dog. They had to replace that. And so, and then, I mean, just the size of it was huge. And so I was like, wow, we really dodged a bullet considering how big our tree is. That thankfully nothing happened. And as and I really looked at that branch, once again, that's leaning over into the into the neighbor's yard and said, oh, well, thank God. You know, once again, we dodged a bullet. So 4 or 5 days go by. Now, I still looked at that branch because of that in the aftermath of that, just thinking about all these downed trees and seeing them still as I was driven through different neighborhoods in the city. And I looked at it and I said, wow, you know, it does look like it's hanging a little lower. It's been 4 or 5 years now. So obviously it's grown. And, you know, when a tree gets wet, you know, the leaves, you know, the rain is heavy and the leaves get wet. So it hangs a little lower. And I just noticed, I'm like, wow, it does look like it's hanging a little low, you know, but thankfully it didn't fall. So whatever. Well, about 5 days later, I'm doing a play right now. I'm in rehearsals, and I get a call while I was at the rehearsal. Thankfully, it was before the rehearsal started, from my wife, and she said, you know, I was just in the kitchen, and a kitchen looks out over our backyard, and you could see the black walnut tree in the back of the yard, and she said, all of a sudden, I heard this crack and this major branch came flying down. Well, can you guess which major branch came falling down in a 4 or 5 day delayed reaction, I would assume, from that storm? For all we know, perhaps the storm did crack it, but it didn't crack it right through. It cracked enough to still stay in place, but it was certainly still cracked. And as I said, because of all the walnuts on this tree, our tree becomes squirrel central. And for all I know, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just wondering as to how this cracked, because when it cracked and fell, there was no wind. In fact, it was the weather was great after that storm. It was dry. It hadn't rained. It was sunny. There was no wind happening to have made that branch crack out of nowhere, unless it had cracked during that storm, but still stayed in its place. It didn't crack completely. And I'm assuming that perhaps a lot of the, shall I say, squirrel traffic contributed to it, the weight of it, maybe with the rain as well. But I'm sure these these squirrels just running all over it, eating those black walnuts, may have provided enough weight that the crack was there, and they provided the weight of the constant running and jumping on that to actually now make it split. Whatever the cause, down it came. And my wife heard it and saw it. Once again, very lucky. That first one I told you about during the derecho several years ago, the branch hanging over into their yard just missed their roof, the neighbor's roof, and fell right in front of the garage door. Now, this one that I've always been staring about and that I always wanted to cut down, I always felt like, oh, I know I compromised on that, but I should have held my ground because that one is just sitting there waiting to do some damage someday. Well, once again, you can't tell how these things are going to fall, the weight of them, where the crack is. Thankfully, if that branch had to fall off, it couldn't have fallen off in a better spot. I don't know how it swung. I don't know, you know, where you could see where the crack is. I don't know what the physics or the dynamics of it is, but thankfully that fell with that same kind of whoosh that I told you about when the tree trimmers were trimming the branches over that were hanging over into our neighbor's yard, and they made a thrust to take it from the right and thrust it into our yard. Well, that's how this branch fell on its own. Whether it was divine intervention or whatever it was, that branch, I would love to have seen it because it must have been quite a sight to see it swoosh from so far to the right. It fell in between. Now, this time, thankfully, it didn't fall into our neighbor's yard. It came into our yard. But as I said, there is a space, not a much of a space, probably only 4 feet, if that, between our neighbor's fence and where the tree is. But it fell in between the tree and the fence. So it didn't do any damage to the garage. It didn't do any damage to the fence. It was as if the tree trimmers were there and guided it into this safe space. I don't know how that happened, but I'm grateful that it did. So it was a pain in the butt because now we had this huge limb to contend with all the branches. And now, literally, I'm not even joking, hundreds of those black walnuts that were everywhere, both in our neighbor's yard as well as all over our yard, because when this thing crashed, they all fell off. And there are just hundreds of these black walnuts. I could see why we are Squirrel Central, because it's like a smorgasbord. I mean, these squirrels don't have to do anything. It's just like a big salad bar for them. They're just hundreds of these black walnuts on every branch, on every leaf. So they just have to turn their head and open their mouths or grab them with their little paws or their little hands, whatever you want to call them, and just grab them. It's the easiest, a food scavenging for a squirrel in the neighborhood, which is, I can understand now why we are Squirrel Central. The squirrels in the neighborhood have definitely sent out the word. Go to Elton Jim's house. Lots of black walnuts there. And they've got a patio. You can eat on the patio. It's great. So thankfully, the tree did, the branch did not do any damage. We did get out there. We did have to strip it of all the branches, and it took quite a while to strip the big limb off of all the branches and then pick up all the walnuts. We have so many of these black walnuts, which, as I said, ironically are green on the outside, black in the inside, that if you have black walnuts, if you have a black walnut tree in your yard and you get these things and they fall over your grass. Because, and it's like you say, oh, well, Jim, what's the big deal? Well, if you're walking back there, you can trip on them, or you can stub your, you know, you could fall, because if you don't see them, it could break your walk and you could trip and fall on them. So you do have to get rid of them. And they hurt too if you hit them on the wrong part of your foot. You can't walk out there without any shoes on. Those things are walnuts. They're nuts, okay? They're hard. And so we've had so many of them that my wife went online a couple years ago and found this great invention. And I think I even talked about this on the air with the podcast. It's kind of like a football-shaped series of wires on a pole that you roll, and the wires, they're thicker than wires, but they're flexible, you know, that those kind of things. And so when you roll, the nuts go in between, and they're big, and so they get stuck in there. So it's almost like a sweeper or a vacuum for these walnuts. I'm not sure what it's called. It might even be like, you know, walnut sweeper. I don't know what they call it. But it's basically like you're vacuuming your grass with this football-shaped wire thing that is flexible. The wires are flexible. And you roll over the walnuts, and they get stuck into this little football-shaped thing. And then it fills up. And then because the wires are flexible, you open those up and you dump them out. And then you go right back. I had to go and do eight, the little, this walnut sweeper, it was filled eight times. I don't know how many they hold, but they hold quite a few. And I had to do it eight times. So, as well as then, you know, cutting all the branches off and using some for firewood that we can. Others we had to bring out to the front of the house, and the village picks those up. We still have the limb in the backyard. I have to figure out now. I don't have a saw or a chainsaw, so I'm going to have to figure out or have somebody do it. You know me. When in doubt, what do I do? Longtime listeners know. I call the guy. Call the man. So I'm going to have to probably call the man, because this is no small limb. You can't do it with just a handsaw. I have a couple of handsaws, but no, you need a chainsaw for this. This is heavy duty stuff here. So I'm probably going to have to call the man. I have to say, though, I'm very impressed. My next door neighbor, they had this tree that fell, I told you about. And my next door neighbor, the woman who lives there, she, I guess from, I never knew this because we were talking about it, she grew up on a tree farm in Michigan. So she's very knowledgeable and very used to working with trees. And she did most of the cutting of her tree, that this huge tree limb, with a chainsaw. And I said, wow. You know, before our tree cracked, you know, for 4 or 5 days before our trees cracked, I was joking with her, and I said, wow, I'm really impressed. Look at you with this chainsaw. And she's told me that, well, you know, I grew up on a tree farm. And I said, wow. I said, well, hey, if I ever need some tree trimming, I know who to call. Can I hire you? Well, little did I know that 5 days later, I actually might have to. I've actually even asked her. I said, look, I don't know what we're going to do here. I'm going to see. I said, if I find somebody to do it, but if not, you know, would you mind? And she said, no, just let me know. So I might not have to call the man. I might have to call the woman. But once again, it's 2024, right? What's wrong with that? Everybody is doing what they do. There's no more. That's a man's job. So I guess it's time to call the person. You have to stop that sexist kind of view now about, I've got to call the man. Or isn't there a man? Isn't there a guy that does this? No, you got to change the pronoun now. I got to call the person. But the person might be my next door neighbor. Because she did a hell of a job on that tree, because that was a huge limb that fell off. And she cut it all down. She's got firewood. She put the other stuff on the about it. I said, "Wow, you did quite a job there." I said, "I'm very impressed." As I said, I joked, "If I ever need some work to be done, I'll give you a call. You know, what are your rates?" Well, now that's not a joke. Little did I know, 5 days later, be careful what you joke about. I may need to call her. But it was so weird to have this delayed reaction to the storm. You know, once a storm hits, you think, okay, we survived it. Whew, okay. And then to have this delayed reaction of this tree about 4 or 5 days later, wasn't even really thinking about the storm anymore. What I'm wondering is, when I looked at that limb and I said to myself, boy, it looks like it's kind of hanging low, I wonder if it had cracked and started to fall a little already, and that's why it looked a little low, and then it did, but it, as I said before, it still maintained the integrity. And then something, the weight of it or something, made it snap 4 or 5 days later. But perhaps it was hanging a little low already because it was cracked. Once again, this is all conjecture and kind of Monday morning quarterbacking after the fact that it fell. But really, there, if that was the case, there wasn't really much you could do anyway. You'd have to wait for it to fall. Or if it was hanging where it was visibly cracked, then we would have maybe had to call somebody to take it down so you wouldn't run the risk of it doing damage. But as I said to you the other day, Mother Nature is in charge. Mother Nature is awesome. And in this case, Mother Nature did us a favor. She decided not to inflict any damage. If the tree limb had to go, it had to go. And ultimately, the funny thing of this is, I probably would have paid extra, of course, to cut off another limb in the grand scheme when I paid them to cut 3 or 4 limbs off of the tree 4 or 5 years ago. If I would have cut that one off, I would have had to pay more, right? Probably, I would assume. If you have to cut 5 limbs off instead of 4, they're going to charge you more. So I saved some money at the time, but I always regretted it because I felt that we should have cut that off because of the potential danger. But the irony of this is that by not cutting it off, it cracked on its own. It didn't do any damage. And so it's gone now. And I didn't have to pay for it to be cut down. Mother Nature did it for me and landed it right in my yard. Yeah, I had to do a little physical labor of trimming it and carrying the stuff out. And as I said, I'll either have the person come and chop it, you know, down into smaller pieces and things like that, but certainly would not have been the expense that I had hoped. So for the last 4 or 5 years, well, I've always looked at that branch and said to myself, you shouldn't have given in. You went and, you know, you should have cut that because it could do some damage. In the end, it is gone. It didn't do damage. And I saved some money. So, once again, look on the bright side. It worked out for the best. And the limb is gone. Don't have to worry about it. There is one that is still hanging over, you know, much higher. But it looks like it's a younger branch. So, hopefully, there won't be anything to worry about that as far as that, you know, near the neighbor's garage. But the one in question is now gone. The one that I wanted gone is gone. Nature did it for me. Saved some money. Didn't do any damage. So thank you, Mother Nature. As I always say, I bow to you. Maybe that's why it happened. Because Mother Nature knows I don't pretend to be in charge of you. I bow to your superiority. You run things. We're just here. Nature runs things. We are constantly reminded of that. But I guess the lesson that I've got after this is that even after the storm, be prepared. because you never know when, you never know if damage was done, and if it was done, when it's going to show its face. Because clearly some damage was done, and we didn't find out until 4 or 5 days later. From, and according to my wife, not only when the branch fell, did all those walnuts go everywhere, but also I guess the amount of squirrels on the branch and in the tree got freaked out, and she said there were squirrels running everywhere. So yeah, we are definitely, you know, squirrel central. And then I was talking to my neighbor who said that she grew up on this farm, on this tree farm. And she had mentioned, you know, oh, you're black. She's old, you know, because she said, I saw, you know, did you lose a branch now? I said, yeah. I said, you know, it was 4 or 5 days later, but it fell, blah, blah, blah. And she knows quite a bit about trees. And she said, well, you know, those black walnut trees. Now, this is something I didn't know. Once again, I didn't plant this tree, right? This is my point about doing some research. If you're going to buy a tree and plant a tree, do your research. Because here's the thing. This is a very beautiful, majestic tree, no question. Apparently, these trees are very valuable. I mean, people will buy these trees for the wood. So they're a very valuable tree, the black walnut tree. However, not only do they, you know, a byproduct is all these black walnuts, which is then a byproduct of the squirrels everywhere, and the mess that they leave after eating all of these black walnuts. But apparently, unless you do research on this, the black walnut tree is also toxic. There's some kind of a toxin that this tree gives out to either preserve itself or fight off something. And so actually, it can do damage to the roots of other trees because it gives off this toxin. So way down under the ground with these 50 or 60 foot roots of trees to support this, it lets out a toxin that can affect plants around the trunk of the tree because of this toxin. Apparently with these black walnuts, now we never have had a dog, but I was reading about it then because she said, well, you know, that tree can be toxic to the area. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, well, you know, the roots, you know, give off this toxin as a way to protect itself and as a way to get other nutrients from around. And I'm like, geez, I had no idea that our tree was like this neighborhood menace. And I was, so I went online to read about it, and apparently, the walnuts themselves, or certainly the remnants of the walnuts, can be very dangerous to dogs in terms of their digestive system, and it could provide complications for dogs, if not be fatal, certainly get them sick if they eat too many or if they eat any of the of those black walnuts. I did not know that. So if you've got a dog or dogs, don't plant a black walnut tree just in case. And in fact, as I said, my neighbor seems to know a lot about trees. She grew up on this tree farm, and she says, oh, yeah, she said, in fact, so she pointed to another neighbor right across in another direction behind our house, and she said, well, that's probably why that tree over there is dying. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, probably from where your tree is set and the 50 or 60 feet or, you know, of the roots, I would assume that your tree is killing that tree in the other yard. I wouldn't even put two and two together. But once again, nature rules. I said, geez, I didn't know that our tree was kind of the Manson tree of the neighborhood. But wow, it's doing damage to property almost, I mean, to some extent, falling in our neighbor's garage. Our neighbor, you know, every so often these black walnuts, the tree is dormant some seasons. And I said, well, you know, the last couple, 2 years ago, it was dormant and we had no squirrels in the yard. We had nothing. It was fantastic. It was great. That doesn't happen all the time. And she said, oh, yeah, I remember because I was so happy. I said, well, how did you know that our tree was dormant with the black walnuts? She said, oh, because we get all the remnants too, because the squirrels take them from your yard or take them from the tree and they run around the neighborhood and they come into our yard and they eat them here. So I didn't know how much of a neighborhood nuisance our black walnut tree turned out to be. So all I can tell you is, please, please, if you're thinking about planting a tree, a beautiful, majestic tree, I get it. It provides us with many natural and aesthetic, what would I say the word? Advantages or elements, characteristics. Yes. I think I shall never see a poem as beautiful as a tree or whatever that is. I get it. House for nature. Shade for people. The beauty, the majesty. I get all that. But they also could be dangerous because of their big limbs. And now I find out that at least the black walnut and who knows what other trees can be toxic. I have a toxic tree in my backyard that might be killing other trees in the neighborhood. So all I could say is, yes, trees are beautiful. Trees are nice. They add to the ambiance. They add to the look of your property. I love trees. But don't just grab a tree and plant it willy-nilly. Do some research. Find out about how it grows, what it is, about its characteristics. Decide in a good spot where you could put it so it won't do damage to a fence or it won't grow in such a way that it's a potential hazard to structures or people or anything. Now, once again, I know you can't plant a tree, you know, and have it completely unless you've got, you know, 5 acres. But at least put some planning into it. Because like I said, when I look at some of the people that planted trees in our yard 50, 75, 100 years ago, I don't think there was any planning. I don't think they thought twice about anything. They planted them in the wrong spots. And in this case, they planted this black walnut tree that was poisonous. Beautiful tree, don't get me wrong, but you probably could have put up another one that wouldn't kill plants and kill other trees. So I love trees. We all love trees. But like so many other things in life, if you're going to buy a tree, if you're going to plant a tree, think about the next 40 years. It might not be your problem, but why create a problem for somebody else? Paying it forward. So the lesson here is, like so many lessons, do your homework. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 427. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. From the end of my mind, to your ears.